Bless the Lord, O my soul. I'm sorry. I've been practicing this all week so that I can read it, but every time I see it, I'm thinking, bless the Lord, O my soul. So for those of you who have no idea where some of our songs come from, anyway. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty, covering yourself with light as with a garment, stretching out the heavens like a tent. He lays the beams of his chambers on the waters. He makes the clouds his chariot. He rides on the wings of the wind. He makes his messengers winds, his ministers a flaming fire. Ivan.
No, okay. Good morning, brother and sister. Today, good morning. Thank you, church, for giving me this opportunity to share the gospel message today. I know I interrupt Pastor Richard on the series on Mark, so appreciate that. And today I would like to share with you the Jesus power. The title of the sermon is Awesome in Power. And I spent some years in Illinois, Urbana-Champaign, when I was in a school over there. And when I get there, we realized that there's something called tornado in U.S. I never have experience of tornadoes at the time. So when we get there, we heard about, okay, what should we do when there's tornado, right? And the tornado is really serious thing. And I don't know if you remember back in 2011, there's a tornado outbreak across U.S. Over 300 people died. When you talk to the survivors, what do they say? They usually say they only have 2 minutes. When they heard the warning, find the shelter, they already decided, predetermined shelter. They will go in, and in particular testimony, they say, just go in and pray. Because when you see the pictures of the destruction on tornadoes, just devastating. Actually, back a few years back in even the Southern Maryland, they have La Plata, the city of La Plata down in Southern Maryland, they destroyed some of the buildings there too. It is really serious. And they are talking about the wind gusts around over at least 100, sometimes 170 miles per hour. Last night, you all experienced the wind, right? The windstorm. The windstorm, we're talking about 60 miles per hour. All right? So we are talking, tornado is way, way more serious. It's life-threatening. We all feel powerless at the time when you ever experience tornado. And last night, you have kind of experienced a strong wind storm. And some of you guys, when I checked the Pepco website last night, some people lost power. We are powerless in those situations. And there are so many situations like that, it seems like we are out of our control. We don't know what's going on. And to the people back in Luke's day, when he wrote the Gospel of Luke back in 60s AD, they were wondering, the Christians are wondering, what is Jesus' role in God's salvation plan? Okay? And in the Luke, when you look at Luke chapter 9, verse 20, around 20, right there, Jesus asked Peter, who do you think I am? And in right here today, we are going to talk about from the chapter 8, verse 20 to 25. It is the first time, again, also, the disciple will experience who Jesus is. From the windstorm in chapter 8 to Jesus cast out demons from a man, and later, way after that, Jesus healed a dead girl and raised her from death, and also at the same time healed a woman right there. So it all experienced Jesus' power and authority over natural forces, like the discussion, the passage we are going to talk about today. At the end, Jesus sent his disciple with his power and authority to go out there to preach the gospel. So this is the same power all Christians will have. So let's listen to the story from the Luke chapter 8, 22nd verse 22nd to 25. The story begins with the same story is written also in other gospel as well. We saw that we get some background information there. And in Luke, Jesus at the time asked the disciple, let's go over the other side of the lake. So that's what he asked his disciple to go. At that time, they were on the boat. The disciples on a small boat. They were able to fit 12 disciples there. That's the kind of size we're talking about. And they were just finished the parables teaching from the across the lake, on a boat to the shore. Just like the picture Pastor Richard was showed 2 weeks ago. You see the crowd on the shore, and then Jesus and other disciples, including some other women over there on some small boats right there on the lake. And when you look at the lake, the Sea of Galilee, here is referring to the Sea of Galilee. It's also known as other name, like Lake of Gennesaret over there in the Gospel of Luke. And when you look at the landscape of Sea of Galilee, on the east side, right there is a really tall mountain, more like a wall. You can imagine more like a wall, right there, way up high. And on the east side, there's some mountain ranges. There you can see some valleys there. This is the landscape. And then the lake is underneath the sea level. When you it is the biggest, largest freshwater lake under the sea level in the whole world. This is the size of around Washington, D.C. It's much bigger than Tidal Basin. You can see those cherry blossoms. Much bigger than that. It's the size of Washington, D.C. So this is a big lake. And also, I don't know whether some of you guys may have a chance to go to Israel. I haven't been there. But when you look at some pictures on the internet, you can see those. This is a tropical climate there, too. You have a lot of some fertile area. They can grow a lot of good stuff, good things right there. At the same time, it is some people will go there for more like a resort for the healing. People go there, some sick people go there and heal in one of those towns as well. So this is a town. It looks really, when it is calm, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful lake. But however, because of the landscape of itself, the wind coming from the west side will blow from Mediterranean Sea, go in through the valley, in between the valley. It's more like a wind tunnel. Imagine you blow air through a funnel. Woo, it just, when the wind blew against the tall mountain on the east side, boom, it just bounced back to the lake, caused a turbulence right there on the sea, the warm water. It caused high waves. That's what happened at the beginning after they set sail across the lake. At the beginning, it was so calm in the evening time. They were, why don't we go across the lake? Let's go across the lake. And then Jesus fell asleep that time. But suddenly, of no warning, the wind came and stirred the whole thing up, and then you get a wave up to 7 feet. When you imagine you have 7 feet tall wave with a boat, what will you do? The disciples, four of them are fishermen. From the gospel, some of the earlier gospel, you see that Peter, Andrew, James, and John, they are fishermen. Of course, they try to steer the thing, try their best to keep things afloat, keep the boat afloat. After a certain time, they start doing some other thing. Probably they start dumping things they don't need, or they're trying to find something that can scoop the water out from their boat because the water is coming into the boat. They're about to drown. So they would do all kinds of those things. However, they found out, okay, they become panicked. They woke Jesus up. Master, Master, come to help us. What do we do? What it means is the disciple, consider Jesus as a teacher with a lot of respect. He's a teacher with wisdom. What can we do you must know the skill, whatever you do. Or some kind of trick, or some kind of knowledge we don't know to get through this storm. It's really ironic because four of them are fishermen, and they're asking Jesus, who is a who doesn't know how to fish, the real fish, to save them in that kind of storm. They are panicked, other people are panicked, because the culture itself, the Jewish culture, they are kind of afraid of the sea. So they are really panicked at the moment of panicking. So they have to, at the end, they decided to wake him up, wake Jesus up. What do we do? And Jesus' response is this: where's your faith? And afterward, he calmed, he rebuilt the storm, and everything became calm. So that's bring up some the climax of the whole story. The disciple asks, who is he? He's the one who can command winds and water, and they obey. So this is the climax of the story. And Aaron earlier, with the scripture from Psalm 104, 1-4, 1-5, from there they knew that, he may be God. They know Psalms. And they know only God have that kind of power in control of water and wind. So he must be God. That's what they kind of like start thinking. And then when we look at the other story after the storm story, as I say earlier, they talk about how to possess, cast out demons from a man, how to raise people from death, and heal the sickness. So it all come up to the end, to the message is, Jesus is the unique son with awesome power. So this is the big idea. He is the one who is in control of the universe. He controls everything in the universe. That kind of power is so big. So this is the big idea. I think this is what we can learn, main idea we learn from this story. And so what do we do? What does it mean to us as a Christian in this century right now? We are sitting right here. What does it mean to us? So the first implication is that Jesus has all the power, and no one can match him. Not even supercomputer. The supercomputer right now we have is when I was in Illinois, as I say earlier, I went to grad school there. They have a supercomputer. When I show those pictures to my son Nathan, he's 7 years old, it looked like a big refrigerator. And when I show it to younger son Joshua, he's only 5. He said, do we have any ice cream or anything like that inside? They want to look for some stuff like this from the refrigerator. And amazingly, people have made those supercomputers to do quadrillion calculation per second. We're talking about when they ask Lathan, 7 year olds, can you do 7 by 7? Okay, that's how 1 second, it takes 1 second to say 49. But for the supercomputer, it can do 13 quadrillion of those kind of calculations in 1 second. So they are tremendous power. No one ever imagined we have that kind of power, we can create such a machine. However, they can do good things, right? They can kind of like start trying to do some prediction of tornadoes, weather forecast, that kind of thing. However, when I talked to my professor back in the grad school, he's a fluid mechanics professor. He said, nah, you cannot model tornado right now still. No, you cannot model tornado. They couldn't understand it. And then NSA, when you talk to National Science Foundation website, they say, okay, they do data mining to find out what kind of things happen at the same time and what are the indicators. This is far from even predicting how many snows we get last night, how much snow we get last night. They say we shouldn't get any snow accumulation. And what we get? Well, we get at least 2 inches at least outside my home. So it's far beyond, still far away from predicting weather, for even weather, I mean snow, storm, tornado. However, when you think about it, Jesus is the one who can control it, not just predicting it. He was calm when he was just sitting on the boat and fell asleep. He knew it's coming, He's in control. So there's no way the disciple try to learn from the teacher, like the professor. Okay, how do we, what do we do? It's not something like skill you can go to school and learn, you can, from your experience you can do. So what do we do? So what do we do when we at the church? So sometimes we face those, such a lot of out of control circumstances. When you go to all those ministry meetings, I mean church meetings, right? We always say, okay, this guy got an MBA degree, this guy is an engineer, this guy is architect, blah, 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 right? We have our own gift or from our profession that can contribute to try to solve those problems. However, at the end, no one can match the power of Jesus Christ. Some of those conditions, at the end, you have to solve those problems with his power. So this is the first application for this passage. Second, the second point I want to point out is, so with Jesus' power, he will carry us through the storm of our life. 2 years ago, I worked at DOD lab, and you never know what will happen, because when you think about federal government, they can always print money, right? That's the difference between federal government and state government. Federal can print money. You never expect people will get furloughed. And when they were first proposed we get furloughed, they're talking about 11 days. And we only have 20 days per month, around 20 days, right? So we are talking about half a month's salary unpaid. And this is a quite big a burden for us, for my family. And then with a lot of, not just that, some other people may have some problem like a home foreclosure. Some of you may experience that, some kind of layoff. It's beyond our control. And then we get help. Fortunately, at the time, we, with a lot of prayers and also the help of the school. The school, my son, Lathan, 7 years old, he goes to a Christian school in the neighborhood. And we email the headmaster and say, this is the situation. Can you help out? They say, we get certain amount deduction. Can you help to financially help out a portion of it? We didn't ask for the full portion. We asked for around four-fifths of it. So we sent an email to the headmaster and say, okay, can we have a tuition discount? Because it's at a time we have to pay for next year tuition. They want to collect the money before the beginning of the year. So he say, okay, no problem. No problem at all. And then we just, with other deduction in our spending, we work out other way to come up with the amount of money. At the end, we just really, really got gracious love. The reduction in unpaid leave down to 6 days. So that was the time we get over that kind of storm in our situation, in our family. But how about right now? We know that some of the family members, some of the church members, have family passed away recently. As brother or sister in the church, we need to pray for those people, those families. Try to help him to, through the power of Christ, try to help them to get over that situation. They are ready to get through their struggle. How do they handle their life afterward? So we need to get support from other fellow Christians to deal with those situations. It seems out of control, and we only can pray for God, pray for to Jesus to let them know that Jesus is right there for them. So this is something we can do for them. Okay, the third point I want to point out is we need to listen and serve, and then rely on Jesus' power. Even though we have some powerless situation, we feel helpless. Remember the story? It began by Jesus asked the disciple to go across the lake. It is his request for them to do certain things, go across the lake. And then Jesus was the power would let them go over that, finish that mission. Just like when you talk about when I was in Chicago, actually in the New Year day, I mean the Monday after New Year, after the sermon, well, after the Sunday sermon, the next day is a New Year holiday. Was the New Year holiday. I flew out to Chicago that Sunday night to attend, because I'm a seminary student, I'm taking classes at Moody in Chicago, Chicago downtown area. So I flew there to spend a week over there to for class. So I flew there Sunday night. It was beautiful that day here, 60 degrees, it's close to 70. And we were expecting a storm coming from Chicago to DC. That was the first snow we had in this year. I don't even remember the first snow in this year. But when I got there, it was 12 degrees. Within 4 hours from the airport to there, to the land airport, how many degree difference? 50 degrees difference. It was windy, little bit wind, just like, not as bad as last, like 60 miles, but at least just like today, this morning, 8 o'clock in the morning, I tried to surf with the snow for my driveway, just like that. When I get to the airport, I go to the shuttle van area, so I try to get a shuttle to from the airport to, because they had a stop outside the seminary, so I can go to the dorm and stay there for the whole week. So when I tell the shuttle station, say I'm going to Moody Bible Seminary, and it's like, ah, where is it? And then he asked several guys, no, I know it, where it is. I told them it's on LaSalle Street. I don't know, some of you may from Chicago area, maybe not. And then I get into that van, good, second stop, which is good, because when you have full pack of people in a van, they have 10 people there, you get a second stop, get out there. It's wonderful, right? You don't have to wait for every stop to get off that bus, that van. Second stop, when the driver stopped right there, I don't recognize this place. Because he drove me to Moody Bible Church. On the same street, LaSalle Street, but the core street are way different. And then I can't negotiate with the driver. Can you just drop me, how far is it from there? I asked him, how far is it from the church, from that location to where I'm supposed to be? Only 3 blocks. So why don't you drive me there? He told me his reply is this. I get a GPS tracking device on my van. I wasn't supposed to deviate from my route. So I look around, there's a lot of people. I can't let not to give them trouble. I have 3 different choices. I could ask him to insist on, okay, let me go drive me to the seminary, right? I can also say, okay, I can just take the van back to the airport and take the next van to come here. And I can walk. I decided to walk that time. So when I got off, he pointed me to the loft direction. It did that direction, go loft. That direction. When I walked down there, the number get larger and larger, but I supposed to go smaller and smaller. So I stopped at the gas station. That's the only shop that remained open. I went in the gas station. Okay, after I said, oh, you should go the other way. But this is 1700, the street, and where I'm going to is 300 something. So it is 1.1 mile walking. Yeah, 12 degrees. And then with the snow on the ground, they didn't clean up the driveway, the sidewalk really well. So I was walking. Well, you can imagine, you were here this morning. You can breathe there. When you breathe out, everything falls in your eyeglasses. You can feel the water crystallize in your lung. And you can feel like shaving, like scratching on your face, like that. So I walk and walk, and then I kind of like talk to God. Why do you send me over here? In January, I promised my wife 10 years ago I'm supposed to be in Paris with her because it's a 10-year anniversary. That's where we were 10 years ago. Why do you send me over here instead of going to Paris? And I kind of like whining, what's going on? And then suddenly I saw a cop drove by that way and then say, okay, maybe I should go the other side. Walk over the other side, maybe it is brighter, and it looked like there's brighter, and more light, more people, and I walked there, and I finally get there, get to the dorm, and then spend a week over there, try to learn how to pitch today. And when afterward, I find out, during that week, they have terrorist attack in Paris. So even though I was able to go to Paris, it will be a ruined vacation for us. So, and then the reason I put on to this, the idea is why the here is, we always need to listen to God, find out what God wants us to do. And if God, this is what God wants us to do, he will be with us, try to get through those difficult situations when even though you feel like wondering what I'm doing here because the hopeless situation sometimes you may see. So the application I want you guys to think about is this. We have some missionary conference coming up, right? Missionary conference in March. I want you guys to pray to find out what God tells you. Maybe have something for you to do. Pray to him. Try to, even though sometimes it is beyond your comfort zone, because he may ask you to do something you not feel ready to do. But if he asks you to do it, his power will carry you through those seemingly powerless situations when you, even though you get to those ministries. So in conclusion, today's story, it tells us the power of Jesus Christ through the storm story. He's the one who controls with the awesome power. It's unique. No one can match him, his power. So with his power, he can send us to do whatever he asks us to do. So praise to the Lord. Thank you very much for today's message, the time to share this message. Thank you.